a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
In the ninth, Stanek on one. Is thrilled on a line. Left field.
Wait.
Gone.
Wait. No, no, no. No. Sean, no. 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 Thank you. We're not reliving that. That man is an escaped felon. He should not have been allowed to play in last night's game. That did not happen. That mother effer is not real. I don't care if this happened on Friday. As the man who stands calmly in the pocket, the high tradesman of the Church of Jeff Luno, I refuse to be remotely shaken by that BS on Sunday. Go back in time to Friday, because we are a high vibes, positivity only show today.
Leclerc ready to deliver the 0-1 to Altuve. Here it comes. Swings and drives this one to left. Carter going back. Did Altuve do it? Carter leaps. He cannot catch it. A three-run home run. Jose Altuve. And the Astros are on top 5-4. Is there anything he cannot do as the Astros pour out of the dugout to celebrate their second baseman and his 26th career postseason home run?
We all had a great time Friday at East River 9 watching that live together as a radio station, except for Sean Mapes. I know, you had things to do. I'm just busting your balls here.
Yeah, when's it a crime to help your mom move?
Well, family, Astros baseball, the real family. I think we all wish that we could swap Friday with Sunday. Exact same outcome. Get pummeled on Friday at Globe Life. Win Sunday, because that's the worst kind of Sunday scary. You go all the way to Minute Maid Park like I did, only to see Adolis Garcia get booed louder than anybody I think I've ever heard booed by a Houston crowd. Strike out four times, only to, after, of course, Rafael Montero came into the game, loaded the bases. Ryan Stanek comes in, hits a batter. Of course, Garcia hits the grand slam there. And just like Trevor Lawrence can throw four interceptions in the first quarter of a game, but claim scoreboard afterwards because the Chargers chargered, Adolis Garcia can do that too. An escaped felon. He should be in jail. Baseball jail. But jail. Anyway, guys, hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Monday, October 23rd of 2023. You can text into the show or call into the show all morning long at 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line. You can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. The Twitch is demanding that I start drinking again. Still haven't drank. Still have not. It's still sober October. Worked on Friday. Kugblaze says, this is on you, Paulie. All you do is get rear-ended when you go to Minute Maid Park. That is true, because my car has still not received justice. And we'll talk about justice a little bit later. If we're talking about last night's game, missed opportunities, I think that's been really the story of the season for the Astros at home in the regular season and at home in the playoffs. They were 1-for-8 with men in scoring position. They stranded 9 runners. First inning, you have Michael Brantley on second with 1 out. You just scored. Nathan Eovaldi looked like he was on the ropes. You weren't able to capitalize there. Only the 1 run crosses the plate in the first. Sixth inning, there's 2 on. There's no outs. You get 0 out of that. Eighth inning, the base is loaded. 1 out, 0 runs out of that. And the Astros are in 5 games at home, averaging 2.8 runs a game. They've only scored 14. Last night, you did get good performances out of Jose Altuve, Yordan Alvarez, Jose Abreu. They're 6-for-10. They scored the 2 runs. The rest of the lineup, 0-for. Kyle Tucker, 0-for-3 with a walk. You're relieved he had the walk. I mean, one of Kyle Tucker's outs was on a check swing. He tried bunting. People are mad that he didn't catch that home run by Jonah Heim. I got to say, that would have been tough. It's tough to time a jump on a home run that gets hit as high as that ball did. That ball went very high in the air at Minute Maid Park. So I'm not mad at Tucker, especially considering he robbed the home run in the ninth inning. Not mad about him for the defense. But he has sucked. 5-for-37 this postseason. And then you got Jeremy Pena as well. Jeremy Pena getting pinch hit for by John Singleton on Sunday. It's frustrating. Can't even sing it. We know they're capable of more. For whatever reason, it just doesn't happen at home. They are slashing 177, 259, and 281 in their 3 home games in the ALCS. After 23 runs, 11 extra base hits at Globe Life Field. They have lost 21 of their last 28 at home. They were 39 and 42 at home. I don't know if it's the altered batter's eye. I more so think that last night it was a case of a lack of patience. You did get Eovaldi to throw 25 pitches in the first, but the next 3 innings, just 37. And this is the tricky dynamic of the Astros bats. We like that they're aggressive, but sometimes they're a little too aggressive. Sometimes they're swinging at everything. If you want to point at a specific moment, when Jose Leclerc walked Kyle Tucker to load the bases, this is before John Singleton pinch hits for Jeremy Pena. This is before Yiner Diaz was put in the on-deck circle. Dubon steps up to the plate with the bases loaded. And again, a guy in Leclerc who, when he starts throwing balls, he won't stop. He has some control issues. And Dubon swung at all 3 pitches that he saw. You have to, in certain areas, force the Rangers pitching to beat you. And there's really only one guy for the Astros that I feel like has been patient and disciplined at the plate. It's been Alex Bregman. And we know Bregman's got a great eye. We know Bregman studies film and all that stuff. But I think that's been the big issue for the Astros. It feels like they're pressing. They're trying to make too much happen. And you love that aggression from them. But I don't know. There are two guys that they probably shouldn't be that aggressive against. It's Jordan Montgomery and Nathan Eovaldi. And credit to Eovaldi. He's a Houston guy. There is a part of me that after last night's game thought back to this offseason where I know I at the very least wondered about the idea of signing Nathan Eovaldi, but then thought to myself, no, I mean, you got so much pitching depth. You can let Justin Verlander walk. You got Luis Garcia. You got Jose Urquidy. You got Lance McCullers. You got Hunter Brown. All those guys are pretty good, right? Ooh, hell, then this year happened, and now in retrospect, I'm like, can you sign Nathan Eovaldi so you don't have to face him in the playoffs anymore? Like, that's the only reason. You can just have him sit at home. Go back home and hang out with Mama and Alvin. We'll pay you. We'll pay you for that. That's where I'm at with Eovaldi right now. Like, damn it, dude. Like,
Have the biggest house in Alvin.
Yeah.
Just sit in it.
Just give him a McMansion in Alvin and just let him chill there. Oh, boy. Like, be a little more patient is all I'm asking for. Anyway, though, a lot to be frustrated with last night. You want to blame Dusty Baker? I'm not going to hear it. I'm wearing my In Dusty We Trusty t-shirt today. If you want to blame some of the bats, I'll allow it. I'm not even going to allow you to blame Framber Valdez for it. Framber Valdez, my bad. I always mispronounce it. Framber gave you enough. Like, the bats just have to give you more than what they've been giving, and this has been an all-year problem at home. We know they are capable of more. You can blame lineup decisions. You can blame Dusty Baker all you want, but these guys, specifically Kyle Tucker, have to execute. But guess what, guys? There's a Game 7 tonight. There is a Game 7 tonight. And, you know, in times of troubles, I don't play Lean on Me by Bill Withers. I instead play this song that I heard on TikTok. That sounds sarcastic, but it isn't. This is how you manifest positive chakra.
Everything's fine. Everything's good. Everything's fine and good and fine. Nothing's wrong.
I'm feeling great.
Everything's cool and chill and nice.
And guess what, guys? It is. Because did you hear what Mauricio Dubon had to say going into Game 7 tonight at Minute Maid Park? We're Houston. Boom! So, Sunday into Monday, losing like that, it sucks. But they're going to be fine. And we'll talk more in detail about Game 7 as the show continues. But this is where you have the pitching edge. Scherzer in 2023 against postseason Christian Javier in 2023. This is where you have the edge when it comes to starting pitching. And you should be able to get to the Rangers bullpen, a full bullpen because of what Eovaldi gave the Rangers last night. That is the big edge that you have going into tonight's game. I have full faith in Christian Javier and what he's going to be able to do. It's just a matter of, can the Astros bats get on Max Scherzer in a way that they weren't able to in the 2019 World Series game number 7. Positive vibes today, baby. But you want to talk about last night? We will let you in. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. Is there anyone else to blame for what happened in last night's game? And I want to talk about a great decision that Dusty Baker made that a lot of people are criticizing. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
You found ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I can feel it.
I can feel it down in my plums. You're getting a nice bluish hue.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
You know, against Leclerc, you know, the OPS is 100 points higher for a lefty versus a righty. And he's been tough on Jeremy, throwing all the sliders and all speed pitches. So I thought our best chance was to pinch hit Singleton.
I have no problem with Dusty Baker pinch hitting John Singleton for Jeremy Pena, which, by the way, worked on Friday. Pena is struggling. I think some people who were second guessing thought you should pinch hit Yiner Diaz there, but Diaz was pinch hitting. They subbed him in for the catcher. You don't want to complicate your lineup. I think maybe because people didn't see Diaz in the on-deck circle, they figured they could have used him there. McCormick, I guess, is the better second guess, but sort of like Mauricio Dubon, is Chaz McCormick that disciplined at the plate? I think you saw earlier in this series, in big-time opportunities, game 2, he was not. He pressed. For what it's worth, Singleton does not do anything other than see the strike zone. And that was a good at-bat that Singleton put together. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's all the Visine, you know? Do you get what I'm saying here? Maybe it's all the Visine, Sean Mapes, that allows Singleton to have the eyes, the sight that he has.
I know what you're saying.
Okay.
He definitely doesn't have glaucoma.
You have glasses, and do you use Visine ever?
No.
You don't? Do you never wear contacts?
No.
Wow. Okay. Damn, old school. I like it.
Yeah. Just don't want to bother with it, honestly. It's just easier just to put on glasses.
I don't know if his eyes are bloodshot going up to the plate, and that allows him to see the strike zone better, or if they're just as clear could be. But Singleton's got a good eye. Is it because of the plant that Dusty Baker's got growing in the dugout? I don't know. By the way, Dusty Baker has a plant, and now I want to know how adventurous he is with this home botany. And I mean, we all know one of the things that he could grow at home.
By the way, he, like, Brian McTaggart showed the before and after of that plant. Whatever he did worked. That plant looks way healthier. Looked way healthier yesterday than it did on Friday.
Hell yeah.
Just hats off to Dusty Botanist.
It's a tropical environment at Minute Maid. It was pretty humid in there last night. I think whenever the park gets over capacity, 42,000, I think it was like 42,800, the reported attendance.
And it was like 90 degrees. Or
oh, God, it was muggy as hell in there. I was sweating a ton wearing all my purple. We did have a call on the board. He was going to ask a question that also was second-guessing Dusty Baker. It was the question about why did they go to Montero instead of Ryan Presley? I also understand not going to Presley. You all know how I feel about Rafael Montero. Of course that was going to effing happen. It is basically a white flag, especially when Ryan Stanek comes in right after. And Stanek hits the first battery faces. Good God. That was a terrible inning. The top of the ninth for the Astros. But I think one thing that we have learned over the last 7 years or so is that when the Astros put a closer in a non-save situation, it often works horribly. And I think you do have to save some of your arms for Game 7, especially with uncertainty about Brian Abreu's status for tonight. I have no idea what's going down on that front. Dusty Baker seemed to be pretty in the dark when it comes to that as well, Sean.
Yeah, to me, that was the decision that was made. It wasn't Montero or Presley. It was Montero or a second inning of Brian Abreu. And with the idea that he might be suspended for Game 7 anyway, yeah. So pitch him until his arm falls off. This is the last time you'll for sure be able to use him this season. Dusty Baker then said after the game that, well, he didn't want a situation where Brian Abreu gets a zero-game suspension and he's available for Game 7 by the league, but unavailable because they pitched him, 40 pitches the night before.
For the life of me, I cannot understand how Abreu got suspended 2 games and Adolis Garcia, who won, started the possibility of being thrown at on his own by doing the dance. If he gets hit and doesn't do the dance, none of this happens. None of this would have happened if he hadn't done a effing TikTok dance down the first baseline. None of it would have happened.
Even just like if, like, so, okay. So Brian, this is also great Friday at 7 o'clock radio. But
but it's still pertinent.
It is still pertinent. I like the word pertinent too. Mm. So he gets hit by the pitch by Brian Abreu. Take away any possible intent, whatever. Just he gets hit by a pitch by Brian Abreu. There's like 3 things he can do. It is walk to the base path while staring at Brian Abreu. Put his head down and walk to the base, first base. Or he can do what he did, and which is get into Martin Maldonado's face.
Or he could have charged Abreu. He could have charged Abreu. Here's my thing with Garcia, okay? And I am not going to deny that that man would probably break me in half.
Yes, however, he could crack our head open like a coconut.
However, Garcia lost his mind. Now, I actually think there might be something to the idea that Maldonado did this intentionally, knowing that Garcia is a freak. Like, he just will lose his crap, kind of like I lose my crap over small things all the time. Garcia and I at least can shake hands on this. We have bad tempers. We have bad, bad tempers. But Adolis Garcia got into Maldonado's face. Then, after being separated by one of his teammates and an umpire, shoves the umpire. You would think the situation is settled. No, Garcia goes around everybody, essentially does a spin move like he's a pass rusher trying to go around a left tackle on his teammate, bolts up to Martin Maldonado, who squares up. Garcia had all the momentum. Garcia was running at him full speed. And at the very last second, you know what Garcia did? He pulled up, bitch move. I feel very comfortable saying that. He goes all the way up to Maldonado and stops. Watch the replay. I watched it. I saw it in the moment, and I could not stop yelling about this at East River 9. I was ranting about it to anybody who would listen. I was pissed about that specific moment. Dude, follow through. To quote Mike Ehrmantraut in Breaking Bad, no half measures. This is hold me back culture 2023. I will be a boomer here. What an absolute coward going all the way up and then stopping. And he doesn't get any punishment for this. Is what I don't understand because he continued this situation. Maybe the punishment, Sean, is that Jose Leclerc had to wait to pitch. It was a self-inflicted punishment. But good God, he came back in. And if they're both suspended, I wouldn't have an issue with it. I wouldn't. I would get it, even though I think it's crazy the idea that Abreu would have been throwing at a guy like Adolis Garcia when they're down 2-0 in a do-or-die kind of game
with the guy already on first.
Exactly. Exactly.
It, like, the intent part of it, like, makes absolutely no sense. And I understand this is, like, the most popular opinion to have. I know everyone on the station will have the same opinion.
Exactly.
Because it's the right one.
Marcus Semien, actually, I think, had the best take on this, is that the only person who knows what happened is Abreu. All the Rangers are going to support Garcia. All the Astros are going to support Brian Abreu here. But, then add in, last night, Maldonado gets hit, second pitch of an inning. And if we're going to use the logic that the umpires did in suspending Brian Abreu and in tossing Abreu Dusty from the Baker. Game, if they're going to use the same logic there, is there not a reason for Maldonado to be thrown at? And you can't just say, oh, well, it's 48 hours later. This whole series is effing connected. So I, for the life of me, can't understand how... If we're going to be consistent, which has, again, been something the umpires have not been, especially with the effing outside corner of the strike zone in this series, I don't understand how you can't look at that moment and at the very least issue a warning, if not toss the guy from the game.
See, well, no, that's where Martin Maldonado went wrong. He didn't cause a benches clearing incident. And shove an umpire.
So clearly,
so the pitcher doesn't get punished.
So if Maldonado threw a temper tantrum,
the pitcher would have gotten punished.
And here's the other
thing. That's what
too.
I've learned from Game 5 is that if the batter freaks out, the pitcher gets punished.
And if the pitcher seems sad about it, and Eovaldi seemed sad. Seriously, he seemed mad about it. And look, credit to Eovaldi. Eovaldi pitched well last night. I actually have nothing bad to say about Eovaldi. But. Okay, so should I do that the next time I get a ticket? Just be like, oh, man, I'm the worst.
Man,
I'm an idiot.
I was going to 85.
Oh, God, I want to kill myself right now. Like, tell that to the cop and cop's like, whoa, hang on. I don't want you killing yourself here, sir. I don't want that. Like, should I do that the next time I break the law? Just be like, oh, man, oh, damn. I didn't mean to sideswipe 16 cars on the sidewalk because I was bored. Oh, God.
Man.
I didn't mean to take a baseball bat out and knock out a mailbox while driving down the road. Oh, damn.
Maybe that's what all the Georgia football players do.
Oh, what was I doing? Oh, man.
Oh, man. Wait, this is the 13th time this summer that this has happened? Man, crazy.
It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. That's Sean Mapes behind the glass. You want to weigh in on last night's L? You can't. You want to manifest positive energy going into tonight's game? You can do that as well. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at the Pendleton Roundup and Pendleton Whiskey, because this is where it all started, guys. The Pendleton Roundup. This is one of the oldest rodeos in North America. And you know what it does? It defines what it means to be a cowboy. It gave life to something equally renowned, Pendleton Whiskey, which captures that unique spirit in every bottle, honoring the enduring legacy of the American West. Pendleton Whiskey is made with the finest northern grains and cut with Mount Hood Glacier water. It's a whiskey that celebrates the cowboy in all of us. Yeah, that's right. I'm a cowboy. That's Pendleton Whiskey. That's true Western tradition. The official whiskey of the PBR Tour. Please drink responsibly.
ESPN 97.5.com. Take his pork chop.
I don't want his pork chop. I want his life.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
I
Adolis Garcia in the box, the entire stadium on its feet, and you can hear their boos. Crowd rooting on Valdez, looking for an 0-2 strikeout. Valdez toes the third base side of the rubber, and the lefty is at the belt. Garcia swings and misses at one in the dirt. He's gone. Framber Valdez uses the curveball again. And listen to the crowd as Garcia walks quietly back to the dugout.
So the Minute Maid Park crowd sucked in the series against the Twins. It did. I think we can all admit that. Maybe you guys listened to my show. Maybe you guys got back into it after that. But I got to say, Astros fans, when there is a very clear and obvious enemy to be mad at, they sure as bleep get focused. And last night, Garcia, before every at-bat, including the last one where he hit the grand slam, all four strikeouts, that place was rocking. And they loved it when Abreu got him. They loved it when Fromber got him a couple of times. They loved every single one of those sequences. And it was something else. I was sitting next to Ari Alexander from Channel 2 over the course of the game. Great baseball follow, by the way. Actually knows his stuff, unlike me when it comes to baseball. He said, like, hey, the sweeper, remember when you were ranting about the sweeper? Well, there's actually an important reason that they need to talk about. And I was like, yeah, but I'm dumb. I actually said that. I'm dumb, though. I'm stupid.
Here's what you forget. I'm dumb.
I just didn't want to hear about it anymore because clearly, like, oh, it's a filthy pitch. Oh, Sonny Gray's sweeper. Blech. But he actually explained, like, why it's good. But he was like, yeah, dude, there's six security guards out there. And then looked over and was like, what? I remember at first seeing a picture that said, oh, there's security guards out there for whenever Adolis Garcia is in the field and game action hasn't started. And I only saw the three. So there were three on the outfield warning track, and there were three in foul territory down the right first field. Base line.
Yeah. I am not saying that anyone should have done anything to Adolis Garcia. However, I would have liked to see the security guards have to earn that paycheck that they made.
Oh, no. You're Sean, I am disavowing that. The Paul Gallant Show does not endorse charging onto the field.
No, I said I didn't. I hope no one did it. But part of me wishes that
it would have been funny.
I got to see him at least, you know, run a little bit.
The only person that we're okay with it. It's like if you go out there to hug somebody. But even then, that's a little bit weird.
No, yeah, that's...
Altuve.
So
like,
you might injure Altuve last year.
Yeah, you might injure Altuve. So, like, but, yeah. But it was something else. A story about a former Astro, by the way. So when I was... I want to say it was my 13th birthday. My mom took me and my best friend Mark to a Red Sox game. And we were sitting in right field. And I think it was a Red Sox-Rangers game. I think Carl Everett was returning to Fenway Park as a member of the Rangers. People in Fenway did not like Carl Everett because he lost his mind while he was there with the Sox. He hit a home run to right field. And somebody in the right field bleachers, not that far from us, threw the ball back at Everett when he came back out to right field. It was tense because that man had a temper that Adolis Garcia looks tame by comparison with. Anyway, that could have happened. I'm glad it didn't. Don't do anything dumb. But getting that riled up, I did like seeing that from the Minute Maid Park crowd. There are a couple of people that want me to do something to make things work for the Astros again. We'll talk about that at 11:15. There are a couple of NFL stories that I want to touch on very quickly before we get back into talking about the Astros and Rangers in the ALCS.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
It's football time in Houston, and we're ready to be in second place
by themselves. So, what a fun game between the Indianapolis Colts and their weird black helmets. Indianapolis Midnight. Lay off the meth, Indy. Relax.
Also, they played the game at noon central.
Yeah.
That's so stupid.
It's dumb. They had black helmets and all blue unis. It made no sense. Just an absolutely horrible look. But people from Indiana, do they have fashion sense? Vanessa Richardson, 713-780-3776. Call in if you believe that they do. Anyway, to bring it back in to that game, Deshaun Watson got concussed. He was 1-for-5 to open the game. So Roughnecks legend P.J. Walker stepped in for the Browns. He didn't play very well. But the Browns won thanks to rather dubious calls in their favor at the very end of the game that none of us have any problem with. Here's the question. Would you rather the Colts lose so that they lose and the Texans are in sole possession of second place? Or do you want bad things to happen to the Browns so that the Texans pick for the Browns in next year's draft is good? It's a tricky situation. I got to say, I hate the Colts, so I would always rather see the Colts lose, especially in heartbreaking, painful, wait, we lost to P.J. Walker fashion.
Yeah, I think specifically the way they lost. If either team lost the way that the Colts lost, I would have been fine with it, with getting, like, pretty much screwed up and down the field by the refs. Like, that's very good when it happens to the Colts. Makes it even extra, like, I don't know. They're even extra despondent from it. And, man, I love a good ref screw job. We'll talk about it more later. But I love a good ref screw job.
Oh, yeah.
When it benefits me. Only when it benefits me.
We're going to talk about the idea of justice in sports in the next segment. Anyway, to continue to go around the NFL, the Panthers had a bye week. That's who the Texans play next week. They are 0-6. I thought they won one game. Nope, they are 0-6.
No. Basically all the 1-5 teams won a game.
They did.
Panthers still 0-6.
Shout out to my Patriots.
Yeah. Bill Belichick putting that extension to good use.
Thank God. I remember reading that on the bottom line. I was like, are you serious?
Yeah, Sunday morning when you read that he had secretly gotten an extension.
I was like, what? No. what are we doing? But hey, that was a nice win by the Pats. The Titans also off, so they're 2-4. Texans, sole possession of second place in the AFC South. How about that?
And what, they have a game up on, or not a game up, but they have a
game in hand on the Jaguars.
Yeah, they have a win against the Jags.
One game at a time, 1 week at a time. Sunday Night Football, the Eagles beat the Dolphins 31-17. Jalen Hurts over Tua. Saw a story about how actually Jalen Hurts maybe did have some moments where he was venting about being demoted to second string against Tua while Tua was in there. Duh! Yeah.
Yeah, everyone would.
Everyone would.
I almost, like, when it was happening, I was almost like, he's being too nice about this. Mm-hmm. Like, he's being too good of a teammate.
Yes.
I want him to be a little mad that he got benched for Tua.
Yeah. And look,
people were doubtful for both of them, so it's fine. But, like, it would be natural for him to be like, wait, I lose, like, 2 games my entire career at Alabama and I get benched for a guy who's good at Alabama, but still.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right there. I remember when Drew Bledsoe got benched for Tom Brady. Bledsoe was actually a massive sourpuss behind the scenes, but none of it ever got out. But Bledsoe was, like, very pissed off about the whole thing. I lost my job due to injury.
Again.
But it's understandable.
Yeah, rightfully so. I understand, because he didn't know that Tom Brady is Brady at the time, so he's just like, who's this guy? Stole my job.
I don't know how many people saw in the world of the NFL that the Chiefs, they took down the Chargers with Taylor Swift in attendance. Taylor Swift and Brittany Mahomes have a secret handshake now. That's nice. And Travis Kelce's statistics when Taylor Swift's in attendance versus when she's not in attendance, night and day. To the point where they actually put up a graphic on the television that says, you belong with T.E.
You belong with me. I'm going to slash your tires if you don't acknowledge me. I'll strangle your cat. I'll light it on fire and leave it on your doormat. You belong with me. I'll kill your whole family.
Yeah. Very stable song. So there you go. That's around the NFL. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. There is no justice in this world. Astros getting screwed over. The Cougs. Our beloved Cougs getting screwed over. It's ridiculous. We'll talk about no justice and no peace next. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at TGS Insurance. You know how you can get justice for yourself? just text the word money to 232323. Because guess what? You're probably getting absolutely screwed when it comes to what you're paying for your home insurance. Because they know that you're never going to check to see what other rates you could get. It takes a lot of time. No one has time these days for anything. But your home insurance could have increased by as much as 50% over the last couple of years. So grab your phone and text the word money to 232323. Because TGS is the fastest growing agency in the state. They shop the market and deliver you a proposal in 15 seconds. What are you waiting for? What do you have to lose as well? Text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. You give them your address. Boom. Potential savings. People all over the greater Houston area are signing up. 35,000-plus customers. Thousands of five-star reviews online. Simple, fast, easy, big savings is why. TGS is the gold standard, so get your savings right now. Again, text the word money to 232323 and save big. And get justice for your wallet today.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
Have you paid your dues, Jack? Yes, sir. The check is in the mail.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. There were some thoughts on what we saw from Game 5. The response by baseball to Game 5 and in last night's game. In case you were living under a rock, in case you didn't watch the game on Friday with us at East River 9, you saw in the eighth inning with the Astros down 4-2, and Adolis Garcia at the plate with a runner on and no outs. Brian Abreu came inside with him, 97, 98 mile per hour fastball. It hit Garcia. Garcia got ticked off, got in Martin Maldonado's face, and was the starter of two benches clearing, gets separated from the Donnybrook, fights his way back in, runs dead sprint up to Maldonado, only to hold up at the last second. After the game, if you took a look at the way that the Astros players talked about it, Maldonado said, yeah, I can understand why he might have thought that. But again, we were down 2-0. Dusty Baker said the same thing. Most Astros players were in lockstep. The Astros aren't getting mad about a guy who's pimp walking after a home run. And Garcia seemed to go out of his way to turn this issue into something more than what it actually was. So you would have thought after that, that if Brian Abreu, who was ejected, is going to get suspended, that Adolis Garcia, for escalating things, for shoving an umpire, he would get suspended as well. That, unfortunately, has not happened. And it won't happen. And now we're still waiting to figure out whether or not Brian Abreu, who was suspended two games but has appealed the decision, will actually be able to pitch in Game 7 tonight. And I think it would be an absolute mistake by baseball if they're going to make this suspension happen in the postseason to make it happen for Game 7 with Garcia not getting it. And I know it leads to conspiracy theories, which we got on the text line. There are a couple of people who texted in here. I think Eric the Driver, a little bit earlier in the show when it comes to that moment where Garcia ended up getting plunked. Quote, bitch Dolis Garcia from the 936 shoved it up but allowed to play. Tell me baseball hates the Astros without telling me they hate the Astros. I can understand why that's the way that everybody feels coming out of it. It does feel like there's some sort of wink, wink, nudge, nudge between Rob Manfred and the 29 other owners there. Another text from 409 Josh. If Maldi called the pitch that resulted in Abreu being ejected and suspended for intentionally hitting Garcia, which is what some Rangers believe. Some people think that, like, Maldy, who's super smart, just made this whole thing happen, which, by the way, I actually think is plausible.
Professor X of the Houston Astros.
Listen, I want to believe Maldonado. It's true. I want to believe that Maldonado knew, oh, yeah, we're just going to piss off Garcia. And reading the account of what happened where Maldonado said, like, yeah, he got in my face, and he said, like, why that? And Maldonado responded, why what? I mean, that would piss me off, too. I think it's just a genius response. It really is. Like, you want to light the fuse of someone with a short fuse like me or like Adolis Garcia? That's how you do it. Like, what are you talking about? Huh?
What are you mad about?
Just being different completely. Yeah. So he loses his mind there. Guys, justice isn't real. I hate to say this, but justice isn't real. Truly. I mean, whether it's an actual illegal setting or right here, it's not real. I don't want to make you have no faith in institutions.
Wow. What a great way to start a Monday.
Well, listen, this is a rather libertarian take, but I mean, like, there is no justice. There's vengeance. There's no justice.
Yes, there is vengeance. There is Robert Pattinson's The Batman.
Oh, that's what I'm dressing up for.
For Halloween spoilers, this weekend. Don't spoil it.
Oh, everyone knows already.
I feel like if anyone has listened to the show long enough, they would have been like, has he ever gone as Batman? He hasn't? He's going as him this year.
Never have in my entire life, but that's going to change.
Not even when you're like 9?
No, actually, not when I was 9. I did have a Batman cape, but I never had a Batman mask. Here's what bothers me the most, though, after the game, is reading some of the comments from some of the Texas Rangers. I think that's baseball justice at its finest right there. They're booing him all game, and he puts the game on ice. I don't know how you can boo somebody for getting hit, but it is what it is. Are you high? One more time, Jonah. Are you high? Did you forget? I get that you're biased, but there's got to be some element of Rangers players that are like, Jesus, I'm not going to piss off Adolis Garcia anytime soon.
Yeah, don't eat his snack in the refrigerator.
Seriously, he'll strangle you. Nathaniel Lowe had an also insufferable quote. They don't boo nobodies, I think is the saying. Shut the fuck. Oh, can't say that. Whoops. Hey, you know what? We made it a while without cussing.
It's always crazy what gets you. Nathaniel Lowe joins Theo Pinson as the two guys that have gotten...
I don't even know who Theo Pinson is anymore.
That's what you said. You said, who the F is Theo Pinson? Because John Wall was on Theo Pinson's podcast throwing shots at everyone ever to play basketball.
I almost pulled up there. I'm sorry, though. I can't read that quote without being like, shut up.
And they don't boo nobodies, I think is the saying, is like such a, like, what are you even doing here quote? It's just like, okay.
Cool, bro. He was 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts before, too, but whatever. I don't understand how the optics of Maldonado getting hit the second pitch of an inning weren't bad. Talking about justice, how many wide strikes have we seen in this series against the Astros? And maybe some of the same stuff's been happening with the Rangers. I'll be honest, watching the game at Minute Maid Park, I don't have the best vantage point. Basically, once a pitch gets thrown, I have to take a look at my computer at the StatCast, or I have to look up at the TV above me to determine whether or not it actually was a strike that was thrown. But no justice. I'm not saying no peace. I'm just saying there is no justice. It's not real. It's a myth. That's why you got to take it. You know, at the beginning of The Departed, Frank Costello's monologue, forget about the racist part. He's just from Boston. He can't help it. I can help it. He can't. Forget the racist part. Nothing comes to you. You got to take it. You got to take it. If you're looking for the umps to help you out here, if you're looking for baseball to help you out here, that's not happening. There's no justice. Nothing is real. Nothing matters. Be a nihilist libertarian like me. It's fun. You are in control of your destiny. That's why you manifest the positive energy going forward for Game 7. Sean is laughing his ass off. Well, let's talk about more injustice. Sean, you're laughing because...
I'm laughing because of Frank Costello. Well, that's why I'm laughing.
Listen, Sean. I mean, you took advantage of injustice this weekend. I mean, our beloved Cougs driving down the field against the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah.
And in that game, I mean, listen, I do identify more as a Longhorn because I'm, well, you know. But when I saw that game and we saw what happened down the stretch, I mean, our beloved Cougs were robbed of justice. I don't know how the hell they marked that ball the way that they did on that third and short. Like, that was clearly a first down. It wasn't just that they marked him short. They marked him a full yard short.
they pulled out the chains, and it was like, did he go backwards? What happened?
Something like that.
Yeah. What am I supposed to do? Call it in to the league office?
Take a knee. Take a knee.
Take a knee. Right
Why
now?
Didn't you take a knee?
Right now in the studio?
I want you to take a knee. Sean is actually taking a knee. Thank you. I almost took a knee because one of my friends, he was eating two hot dogs during the national anthem, and I asked the question, does that make him super American because he didn't stand up during the national anthem because he was eating 2-foot-long hot dogs as fast as he can, or does that make him a communist? 713-780-3776. I guess Deshaun Watson, his Browns got justice with all the calls that were against him down the stretch. Deshaun Watson got hurt, but there's no such thing as justice. It's not real. Nothing matters. Oh, man, I'm too negative right now. I'm too negative right now. So you know what I'm going to do? The positive vibes are going to be back, baby. Hour number two. Are we going to give you the Astros cocaine song? Yes. Am I about to pledge to do something that's not good for me, but potentially is good for the city of Houston? I might. What am I talking about? You'll have to stick around to find out. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're your daddy.
Well, I feel like I'm your daddy.
You're not my daddy.
No,
daddy.
Hush, now I'm your daddy.
You ain't my daddy, boy.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not our daddy.
I am your daddy.
Not a daddy.